the guy who drives it through.
Hit the high notes on the park. That's how we became a great team together, you know. It was just unfortunate, we never won anything.
Men's in trouble, there's deep kick. The super sub has done it again, and Motherwell are back in front.
Without supporters, you cannot play a game. They are a very, very important part of the club.
Jukovic on the chase, might get there. Handel is with it. Jukovic!
I remember it to this day. It was unbelievable, and that's another reason I love going back to Fir Park, because you do get to interact with the supporters again, who were wonderful for me.
Chance here for Motherwell. This is Pettigrew, outnumbered though. Still has it. Chance of a lifetime for Pettigrew, and it is there!
Yeah, obviously being on the podcast is everything I've dreamed of.
Goes through the middle though, Marvin Johnson. Defenders backing off. Took a deflection! And it goes! Misjudged by Bell! Fir Park! Twisting! Shouting! Shaking!
Hello and welcome to the MFC podcast. Today, Ian Buchanan joins regulars Jay and Buster. How are we all, guys?
Aye, no bad.
Yeah, good. Good to be back.
Aye. Pleasure to be back for a hat trick.
That's it. Your ball will arrive in due course, I'm sure. A defeat yesterday to Dundee United, 2-0 in the end. Jay, it was a strange game. It was a bit of a turgid first half, but plenty of encouraging signs despite the 2-0 defeat.
Yeah, I think over the piece, probably a draw would have been a fair reflection on it. It was one of those games where it could have went either way. We had our chances. Johnson going through with the keeper to beat in the second half. Chalmers should have scored. Of course, though, they had a good few chances as well. Connor Ripley had to pull off a couple of decent saves. So over the piece, I think a point would have probably been, the deserved result. So it's disappointing not to get in from it. There was encouraging signs. I thought, Chalmers looks decent. Lang was solid at the back, apart from his great finish for the own goal. Again, Connor Ripley looked decent. There's definitely positive signs. I think you would come away after the game thinking that we'll definitely do okay this season. But it's still disappointing. It's a game that we could have won. And, when you look at the chances to go 1-0 ahead, we probably should have won it.
But Stephen Barraclough said that he felt the team performed better against Dundee United than they had done against Inverness when they came away with a 1-0 win. It's pretty fine margins, isn't it? With 6 minutes to go. The game looked destined for a draw, so hard to take that in the end it finished 2-0.
Yeah, I suppose so. As Jay says, I felt a draw would have been a fairer result as well, but there was very encouraging signs there. I thought the first 20 minutes, half an hour, we played some great football. Like Dundee United as well actually played some great football as well, but as you say, it was one of those games where nothing was going in for either team. And it was going to be something like an own goal that broke the deadlock. So disappointing, obviously, to not come away with anything. But as you say, it's not a bad performance.
Bukes, it feels like there's a bit of a mindset changed amongst the support, where a 2-0 defeat last season would have been met with a lot of negativity and doom and gloom in some parts, but the vibe was pretty positive following the game yesterday, and for good reason, would you say?
So, it's quite hard to dissect what we're doing this season when we played two competitive games. I mean, I think United was going to be a tougher test than Cali Thistle would be. But a last-minute goal when your keeper's up for a cup, I mean, it could only happen to Motherwell that a team scores when your keeper comes up. So I think what happened there was it was 1-0. We kind of settled for it, and if it came off, we might have got the draw. But it was positive, definitely positive.
What was your take on the goalkeeper coming up? I didn't really understand it in a league game. that early on in the season, it seemed like a bit of an unnecessary risk, but I was one of the few that believed that when we were speaking in the pub after the game yesterday. What was your take on it?
Oh, it's one of the ones, the keeper looks at the manager and the manager's got like 3 seconds to decide, does he go for it or does he no? And he's obviously said, carry on, you know, we'll take it. But it's just another body in the box. I don't see the value of keepers going up, to be honest. Cavalier, aye, but I didn't see the point. I never see the point in the keepers going up. You know, if he was that good in the box, he wouldn't be a goalkeeper. You know, he'd be the striker. So
that's it. They didn't really aim the ball at him either. So
and it was a strange corner. It was a strange decision, a strange corner. You know, it got cleared right away. You know, it didn't really get past the first man with the cross. Listen, if he'd put it in the top corner, we'd be sitting here hailing him as the hero. But other than that, he had a good game. Yeah, he looks the part. He really does look the part.
Occasion at Fir Park this season, or your first Motherwell game of the season, I don't know, it was the first league game at Fir Park. Who stood out for you amongst the new faces?
Conor Ripley. You know my feelings on the goalkeeping situation, so it was good to see him come out, collect a couple of crosses, made a couple of good saves. You know, as you said, he went up for that corner, but I was one of the ones who was no bothered by it.
We're currently recording at 2 minutes to midnight and Bukes is unfortunately working. He's been called away just now and apparently work takes priority over podcast commitments, so he's away. He says he might be back in 2 minutes. If you don't hear from him for the rest of the podcast, that's your reason why. Well, we're going to talk about the Hearts game on Wednesday night at Tynecastle. Jay, in the back of a defeat yesterday, another very, very hard game. Hearts have made a fantastic start, winning 2-1 against Dundee yesterday as well. Hard one to call, mind you. They looked pretty suspect in the first half against Dundee and came back strongly in the second half. Again, in the second half against St Johnstone in the opening day, they suffered a bit of a backlash. They seemed to be there for the taking, but Tynecastle, traditionally a very difficult place to go.
Yeah, I've not seen any of Hearts games so far this season. But you know, they've definitely got good players. You know, the boy up front, I think it's Wanma, who's got 3 goals in 2 games, so he'll be a bit of a threat. They've definitely got good players there. They've got some really good young players that have obviously got a few years' experience now playing alongside each other. As you said, Tynecastle's a really difficult place to go, and I'd imagine that Hearts, you know, the players, the staff and the fans will all be looking for them to be challenging for Europe this season. And it's a kind of a unique situation because of the way the team that's come up for the championship, because it's, you know, the championship has Hearts, Hibs and Rangers in it last season, it means that, you know, the normal circumstance would be the team comes up and their first priority is to avoid relegation. But Hearts will have come up and, you know, they'll really fancy themselves for top six this year and possible European qualification. So it's going to be a really difficult place to go. It's hard to really judge because, you know, that's, you know, played 2-1, won 1 and lost 1. We did look good, but, you know, if we go into the game and don't take our chances again, then, you know, Hearts are a kind of a team that, like Dundee United, will punish us. So it'll be interesting to see how we go into the game. It'll also be interesting to see if we make many changes, I thought. Although we did play decent enough yesterday, I think there were certain tactical things that could be improved. I thought that, for example, McDonald was just a little too deep. You know, at times he was almost a third central midfielder. I don't know if that was simply because Jack Leach being in there, perhaps Barraclough wanted to, you know, have an extra man in there to provide a bit of cover. I thought Jack Leach actually played well, so maybe that'll, you know, give Barraclough a little more confidence in him and allow him to push McDonald a little further forward. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see how we approach the game, how we go into it. I imagine we'll be positive. You know, we were talking just a few minutes there ago there about the goalkeeper going forward. And it's not something that really bothers me either way. I mean, I can see why you would put it up, put the keeper up. It can cause a bit of mayhem and you can maybe get a last minute goal. But of course, as we saw, it's easy to get caught out. But I think that shows you that he's positive. You know, we're into the last few minutes of the game, we're 1-0 down, and instead of just trying to, you know, plod along and hope for the best, we're positive, we're putting an extra body in the box and we're actually trying to go and get the equaliser. So I'd imagine it would be more of the same at Tynecastle. I think we'll approach it positively, we'll try and attack, and it'll just be, you know, be one of those games where if guys like McDonald and Johnson are on form, then there's no reason why we can't get a win.
Plus, I suppose the real feeling is one of disappointment, that one of the best away days of the season is falling so early on a midweek night. But to look at the football, it's a perfect opportunity, 4 days break, to bounce back from the disappointment. And another big boost will be the return of Lionel Ainsworth, who has served his 2-match ban, so he'll come back into the reckoning on Wednesday night.
Yeah, who knows? Jay mentioned as well, Hibs were also in the Championship last year as well, so there was no away days to Edinburgh. And as you say, it's going through to the capital is one of the more favourable away days, whether it be Hearts or Hibs, in my opinion. I like both of them. But as you say, it's a shame it's a Wednesday. I won't be there, unfortunately. I'll be working. But it'll be good to see, or it'll be interesting to see how we go as well, because Chalmers has played pretty well in his 2 games, first the highlights I saw, and then on Saturday there. So it'll be interesting to see if Ainsworth just comes straight back into the team, or, you know, if they're going to maybe move it around a bit, because, as you say, Jack Leach did pretty well. I don't know, so it's a wee bit of a sort of headache you want for Barraclough, so it'll be interesting to see who decides to go with and whether or not Ainsworth gets in the team.
Do you think it's pretty much cut and dry, Jay, that Lionel Ainsworth will regain his place?
I really don't know. I think before these 2 games, if you were asked would Ainsworth come straight back into the team for the third game of the season, I think you would have said yes. But Chalmers is there, and he's done well. You know, he's now, you would say, you know, he started at Inverness and again on Saturday, probably because Ainsworth was out. But he's made, you know, he's taken his chance. He's played well, and I don't see any reason to drop him. But, you know, we spoke last week about, you know, Barraclough's decision to drop Twardzig for the goalkeeper we signed a matter of hours before the game. So it's hard to tell. You know, I don't know whether Barraclough perhaps just has a favourable starting 11 in his mind and he might just want to go with that regardless. But I would like to think that if you've got, you know, a young guy like Chalmers and you've given him that chance, and he's played well. I think, you know, I wasn't at Inverness, but by all accounts, he was decent up there. And on Saturday, I thought he was one of our better players. So I don't see, apart from, well, he set aside, I thought he was, you know, he played really well. So I don't see any reason to drop him. I think that you don't really want to have a situation where you're, you know, just kind of dropping players for established regulars. I think, you know, that for me would be harking back to Stuart McCall. You know, you had guys who were letting us down last season, some of the established pros, the same faces he expected to see in the starting lineup every week. And those were the guys who were often letting us down, and yet McCall was, you know, resisted the urge to actually drop them. So you don't want to be in that situation. You don't want to have players who just automatically get into the team because of who they are. They need to fight to get back in, and Ainsworth should be no different. So I would go with Chalmers against Hearts, presuming, you know, everything's fine at training. I mean, we don't know. They could get a knock. Chalmers could have picked up a knock on Saturday or could get injured during the week. Fair enough. But I would suggest that he starts on Wednesday because he's played well in the last 2 games.
Bastard, I know it's a Motherwell podcast, but I've been very impressed by Hearts' start to the campaign. Where do you think they'll be aiming to finish this season? There seems to be a raft of teams that all fancy a push for the top six. I would say that from looking at Twitter and Facebook, a lot of Kilmarnock fans fancied the chances for top six. You've got Motherwell supporters, Hearts supporters, Dundee United will be there, St Johnstone, Inverness. It's going to be very tight. Where would you think the Hearts fans' aims will be in the first season back up?
I think at the start of the season, it would definitely have been top six, you know. If they get top six, they would have considered that very successful, I think. You know, come maybe three or four games into the season here, if they're on a wee bit of a run, a wee bit of a streak, you know, they might be pushing for, maybe hoping to push for Europe. So, it's, as you say, they're, to me, they're an unknown quantity. I don't really know anything about them, other than the last year where I've watched them three or four times on the telly. A lot of young boys in the team at the time as well, so it'll be difficult. It's difficult to tell, you know, where they will end up. I've not seen much of their games either, to be fair. You know, I don't manage to catch Sports Scene because I don't enjoy it, to be fair, but I've seen a couple of their goals they lost against St Johnstone, things like that. They look to be entertaining, at least anyway. That's what, 6 goals for and 4 against or something in 2 games, so hopefully we'll get a couple up there.
Jay, Buster mentioned Sports Scene there, and given we've given STV such a hard time in the past, let's move on and give the BBC a bit of doing as well. Just such poor, half-arsed coverage again. And then finishing with giving the Rangers game a good 5 or 6 minutes. Then talking about it with Stuart McCall. Maybe it was shaped because of the guest that was on. But I dare say that if we had lost that relegation playoff last season, there would be absolutely no coverage of the Championship. And they would maybe give the results, but they didn't. For instance, they didn't show Dumbarton's win over Hibs or Queen of the South starting the season so well. So why do Rangers continue to get this coverage? And it seems to be at the expense of other Premiership games too.
Yeah, it's just, you know, that's just the nature of the beast. It's, you know, Rangers are the big club. They've got, you know, the most fans, you know, themselves and Celtic. So it's, you know, a stick on that they're going to get more coverage. They obviously, they shouldn't do. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, the Sports Scene is there to show you the big games that have been going on, and therefore the games that have been in the top flight should outrank first division games regardless of who's in them, but they don't, because it is Rangers that's involved. You know, that's just the way it is. It's not really a surprise. It's just the way it is. I suppose one surprise would be the fact that I thought that Rangers and the BBC had fell out. You know, I was sure that they'd kind of had a big falling out. I know that the Rangers had banned Chris McLaughlin, I think it was. And so you kind of thought maybe that was the chance. Maybe BBC, the likes of Sports Scene, would maybe pay them a little bit less attention. But let's be honest, it was never going to happen. You know, spending, you know, given the Motherwell game, you know, two and a half minutes or whatever it is of half-arsed coverage, so they can then spend 10 minutes fawning over Rangers is what they do best, the media in this country. So it's not surprising.
Yeah, it's just a matter of numbers, isn't it? It's just, as you say, it's not surprising at all, but when you have that many people interested in something like that, that's where they're going to go, isn't it?
I don't really understand the necessity for showing it. It was a game on Friday night. It was live on the television. They've had highlights been shown in Sky Sports. Those with BT Sport could have watched the game numerous times if they wanted to with the replays. So to continue to let them play such a big part in their coverage, and also we seem to get these wee daft video packages. It was nice to see the goals from the 1991 final, of course it was, but we don't need that. I would prefer going on YouTube or watching the DVD or follow the Welsh Society on Facebook to see that. I would prefer to see the highlights of the game. They don't seem to stick to what they should be able to do best, and that's an hour of highlights of Scottish football, Scottish Premiership football.
To be fair, though, it's still not Scott Sport territory. You know, when you had Julian Sinclair and Sarah O and Graham Spears playing piano and stuff like that. That was when they really get carried
out. Now that is what they should be showing.
That's when they get a bit more carried away rather than just showing highlights. I mean, I don't mind Sports Scene. I mean, it's what we all watch on a Sunday night. You know, you get your highlights. You usually, you know, the pundits are by and large all right. You know, but I was a bit disappointed that Stephen Thompson wasn't on it to defend his absolutely hilarious penalty. But no, I don't really have a problem with it. At the end of the day, it's just what happens. You know, if you'd watched the St Mirren Rangers game on Friday, you would have saw adverts during it for the like all the Rangers games. They're going, you know, Rangers versus Alloa and Rangers versus whoever and Rangers versus... That's just the way it happens. You know, that's the way it is. You know, we're a smaller club and, yes, we might be in the top flight and therefore, logically, should get more attention. But that's not the way it works.
I would just like to point out as well, the reason we're in the top flight is because we beat them 6-1.
Oh, Stegosaurus.
They're welcome to show Rangers highlights if it's highlights of the playoff, which we all watch so regularly anyway.
Who was the guest tonight on Sports Scene?
Stuart McCall and Mark Wilson.
Mark Wilson. I've obviously, as I say, I've not seen it, but apparently he's wearing a horrendous shirt, so I'll have to go onto Twitter and see if I can find out what it looks like.
There we go. So that's something for you to all check after you've listened to the podcast. Two games this week, back to Fir Park on Saturday when we face Aberdeen. Jay, it's great having the football back and two home games, Saturday, 3 o'clock, in successive weeks. That being said, it's another really, really tough fixture.
Yeah, that's another reason why. It was a double-edged sword coming away from Fir Park on Saturday. Because as you said, there was a bit of positivity despite the defeat, I think, because the performance was good and because a lot of the new players, you know, like Fletcher looks as though he'll do well in the SPL and Chalmers, as I said, had a good game. So there was positivity. But on the other hand, you know, we've got such a difficult start. Then that's a game that we could have won. You know, we need to go to Tynecastle, really tricky game. Aberdeen, of course, will be looking to finish second again, and they've got some great players and they've improved their squad during the summer. As far as SPL squads go, theirs is up there. And then even, you know, St Johnstone away the following week, they'll again be pushing for top six and potentially Europe. So it's such a difficult start to our season that, you know, the fact that we didn't get a result on Saturday should be disappointing, because it's a game that we could have won. It's a game that, again, as I said, at 0-0, when you look at the chances we missed, we probably should have won, or we should have been in a position at least to, the, you know, for it to be our game to throw away. So it's a difficult start. It's a difficult start. And of course, if we go to Tynecastle and don't get a good result, then we face a big test against Aberdeen. And within, you know, the first month, you've went from having such a great start on the first day of the season to being in a little bit of a poor run. So hopefully we can get something on Wednesday and go into the game against Aberdeen with the same confidence and the same momentum that we had after Inverness.
We touched on the enthusiasm and the increased expectation levels ahead of the Dundee United game. One thing that was very noticeable inside the ground, though, was a real lack of atmosphere, which very unlike home games in the past season or two. Buster, could you put your finger on why that was? The place was dead. It kind of reminded me of a pre-season friendly at times. You could hear everyone talk amongst themselves, and it sometimes transcends onto the pitch when... I know it's a bit of a cliche, the 12th man type idea, but I do really believe a noisy vocal home support can be a real asset to us.
You're 100% right, and as she says, we were talking about it when we were there as well. I don't know, it appeared as though the area where we sort of stand basically behind the boys, you know, it appeared as though there wasn't as many of them there. There was a noticeable lack of the drum, if you want. I think they got a toy one in at one point or something. Sounded like somebody was, you know, rattling a Pringles can, but it appeared as though, for some reason, you know, first home game in the season, they're expecting, you know, a wee bit of a turnout there, but just, you know, to see the team again for them, who couldn't get away the first game. But as you say, it appeared as though they weren't there, and it looks as though we obviously rely on them to make a bit of noise for us.
Yeah, full credit has to go to the guys in the David Cooper stand, Jay, who continue to make to quote Jack Patterson, a bit of a din.
Well, yeah, I mean, on the crowd, I think it's an interesting one, because you can't really, at the end of the day, as Buster says, we stand up the back, you know, so it's easier. I mean, we could quite easily start a song if you wanted to. So, I mean, it's, you know, it was that kind of you know, a bit of apathy throughout us all in terms of the crowd, I think. But it's an interesting one because I thought it would be bouncing. I just kind of assumed that, you know, this was the first game back after beating Rangers in the playoffs and it would sort of be, you know, a continued celebration from that. So I was expecting it to be, you know, a good atmosphere on that basis. Never mind the fact that it was, you know, the first home game after, you know, a great result last week. So it was disappointing. Don't know the reasons. But it just shows you, you know, that's unfortunately that what happens, you know, if you go back a few years ago, the atmosphere was just like that at every game and nobody really thought much about it. And of course, that's what happens when you have guys like the boys creating such a great atmosphere and, you know, doing such a great job in that regard, then it just becomes so noticeable when it's not there. Rather than it just being the norm, it actually becomes a negative. So rather than, you know, a few years ago when that such an atmosphere would have just been the norm, instead it's, you know, surprise and quite a negative thing because we're so used to such a great atmosphere, you know, being on the go. So I'm not entirely sure what the reasons were. But, you know, sometimes you just get games where perhaps certain folk weren't at the game who maybe normally start chants, or there was just, you know, I don't know, maybe everybody was a bit hungover, maybe they were out the night before, I've got no idea, but it was, the atmosphere was built. But you're right, there's that wee group, the Amber Army and the Cooper, you know, making a bit of noise, and that's great, because, you know, that's what you want. And it would be so easy, you'd imagine that it would be easy for them to kind of just say, oh, we'll just go into the East Stand and go away down the bottom and join and in that section. So the fact that they actually take it upon themselves to try and create an atmosphere somewhere else in the ground, I think they deserve credit for that.
Yeah, of course, I think you're absolutely spot on when you say that anyone could actually start a song and get a bit of an atmosphere going. And I think it's just, it's full credit to the boys for the noise they have made and what they've made visiting Fir Park. The experience is just it's entirely better as far as I'm concerned. But I just hope that it doesn't fade away. I don't think it will, but...
Oh yeah,
bringing a big support and the acoustics of that south stand, it could almost play to their advantage sometimes. I can remember a few of the cup games in recent years where they've brought a huge support, which they will do on Saturday because they're not playing midweek, so they'll be going into it with a 100% record. You've got to level the playing field or give us a bit of advantage by really getting behind the team because it is essential in my...
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the thing. You know, you don't. I mean, it's. I don't think there's any issues in terms of it drying up or anything like that. Not a chance. I think that's. It's just one of those things. Again, there'll be a reason for it. It might just be one of those days where there weren't certain individuals there who perhaps, because that's the negative side to having a group who have done, you know, so well in terms of creating atmosphere. The negatives to that are that nobody else really bothers. You know, we, in the past, we would maybe stand up the back and if you wanted to hear a particular song, you would start it. Whereas now, you don't really need to bother because you know that the Motherwell boys will just get the atmosphere going anyway. And then it just means that when you have that odd game where there is no atmosphere, you kind of just fall into that mentality of not really bothering starting anything either. So, you know, the negatives are that when they do such a great job of creating atmosphere, then when it's not there, it becomes noticeable and everyone's thinking, oh, what's going on? Where's the atmosphere? It's just the, you know, that's what happens with success, if you like. You know, that's what happens when you do such a great job. But I've no reason to doubt that, you know, next week or the week after, you know, the atmosphere will be good and we'll get back to, you know, a loud section of the East Stand cheering on the team. I mean, you don't, just because there was a poor atmosphere on Saturday, I can't imagine there's a sign of anything when you consider that it was only a couple of weeks ago that Fir Park, the entire of Fir Park was absolutely bouncing as we host Rangers.
Oh, Stegosaurus.
Someone or a group of people not doing the best job, in my opinion, just now, of the World Society, and I know this has become a bit of a common theme that we criticise, but it's with the best intentions, very much so. For me, it's been a bit of a summer of silence from them for whatever reason. They returned this week with a vote for your favourite moment. Four options given, one of them being 180 minutes of football, one being two goals, which I've never seen in one moment. Just a bizarre kind of Facebook poll type thing. And then the moment of the match idea, where alongside the number of Man of the Match awards we've got, you go onto Twitter or Facebook and vote for your favourite moment of the match. Again, this was seen as some way of getting people involved and a fun thing to do. It was explained to me. I would just like to see them working at promoting, joining the society and pushing on with fan ownership. We spoke at great length with Alan Burrows a few weeks ago, and he was saying that it's absolutely vital that the society succeeds and goes on to take over the club effectively when Les Hutchinson decides to move on. They're filling me with absolutely no confidence. It's just really, really getting to the frustrating stage where radio silence and is just becoming an absolute staple part of the society. Big improvements needed, and certainly very soon. Jay, what's your take been over the summer months? I know that you were approached to go along to a few things, and what's been happening since then?
Not much. I mean, you know, again, I would kind of describe myself as like a vocal critic of the Welsh society, but, you know, like you say, it's because, you know, it was born out of a desire for it to succeed. You know, I didn't join because I, you know, wanted to sit and criticise it. I joined because I thought that it was a good thing. But you're right. I mean, there's a lot of enthusiasm, a lot of excitement. You know, for me, the really disappointing thing is the fact that the Welsh society, the idea of fan ownership to any football fan, whether they want to pay and actually be, you know, directly involved, the idea of fan ownership, the idea of having a direct, you know, say in the way your club's run and have that link there, that should excite and engage most football fans. Most football fans who have a genuine passion for their club, the idea of that excites people and engages people. And the fact that a few years later, the Welsh Society has kind of managed to completely disinterest people and make people rather bored of it. You know, you look at, like, people, you know, whenever we're talking to people, whether they're members or not members, it's just, you know, a general kind of apathy towards it. And I think that is really disappointing, you know, because that takes some going to take an idea that naturally is exciting and naturally engaging, and to turn people off to that idea, I think is quite the achievement. So yeah, the big improvements needed. I don't really, you know, we talk about it so often, I don't really know what more to say. It has been disappointing. I think that up until when Les came in, you know, at that point when they missed the target, I think that you can't say anything other than it failed. It failed really, really spectacularly. It's been a failure. Can they turn it around? We'll need to wait and see. You know, there's a new guy now who I think we've said before that they should have had a paid member of staff years ago. So we've got the new guy in, and he deserves, you know, obviously time and to get his ideas involved and to see what he can do. So, you know, we'll see what happens there, whether there's any progress. In terms of the moments of the match, the one concern I have about that, I don't really care much about it. I mean, I'm not really into, like, Man of the Match awards and all that anyway. I couldn't tell you the last time I even knew who the Man of the Match was at a game. But so it's kind of a harmless idea. If people want to, you know, vote for their moment of the match, you know, crack on. It's no skin off my nose. But what I was going to say was, the one thing that is slightly, I think, that's not been thought through regarding that is, we know what Motherwell fans can be like. I mean, the one example that sprung to my mind when I was thinking about it was a Dunfermline away game a good few years ago, when Derek Adams, that fan favourite, had did a poor game and was getting booked for the referee, to which a large number of Motherwell fans were chanting off, 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 because they wanted Derek Adams sent off. So we're going to have a situation where, you know, a player has a really bad game, or there's, you know, the next target, the Boo Boys, is singled out and he gets substituted or sent off, and then Motherwell fans vote that as the moment of the match. Because, you know, I mean, the good, I mean, that's just the kind of things you're kind of opening up. I mean, even the game on Saturday there, maybe not so much because we played well, but it is a kind of a risky. I saw Frazzle on Facebook when he commented on it and just sort of said it's a risky thing. because, you know, you don't know, you could have a really dire performance and then suddenly your own fans are voting for a moment of the match that involves, you know, basically tearing a player to shreds rather than for, you know, the light-hearted kind of idea that it is. So it is, it's a risky thing. But, you know, for me, it's relatively harmless. I know what your point is. Your point is obviously the fact, you know, that that is the fruit of the labours of the summer, it seems, which I agree with. You know, I mean, you don't hear a lot from the Welsh Society, so when you hear from them and it's, you know, like the kind of poll that you see on Steelman Online, then, yeah, I know what you're saying. That is slightly disappointing. But the idea itself is, doesn't really bother me either way.
Isn't the problem. I have been a wee bit arsy about it and kind of taking the mick a bit. But you've got to, there's surely got much more priorities to be pushing on with than zany, wacky wee ideas. It just makes absolutely no sense. And that's the problem I've got. They're saying that they felt that the start of the season was a better time to be promoting joining the society. I would completely disagree with that. We could easily have lost our first 10 games of the season. After you beat Rangers 6-1 in the playoff, that's the perfect time.
I think that the you know, that this thing they've set up, I'm easy weight as well, to be fair, it doesn't bother me. But it's maybe just, you know, to keep them in mind, as you say, they've been pretty quiet over the summer. They're maybe just doing these sort of things. I mean, that takes 3 minutes of somebody's time just to type out a post on Facebook. Maybe just doing these things to, you know, so that people are aware they're still there. You know, as I say, they might be working on bigger, better things in the background. I don't know. My problem with a society, I think, is people who wanted to join were the people who joined. The people who need to be convinced aren't going to join until, you know, there's some sort of Armageddon-like situation, in my opinion. And again, you might not even get many more members, I don't think, but until the club's literally an hour away from going down the toilet, I don't think you're going to get many more people who will be able or willing to shell out £300 or, you know, whatever it is.
But the thing is, at £10 a month, if you've got an exciting initiative where there's regular things that football fans want to get involved in, I think people will get behind it and they will be engaged. But the society are in real danger of boring people out of joining. There's nothing going on that's forward thinking and that appeals to me. And that's with Davey Young signing up for it and then getting so frustrated by what he saw and certain things that he cancelled within 2 months. They're not even capable of retaining members, and that must be hugely concerning. I know Craig, the paid employee of the society's feet have only been under the desk for 3 or 4 weeks, but I would have thought that would have come with as a wee bit of a kick for the guys that are already on the board to impress and to bring some of the ideas that they had to fruition. And that's a bit concerning that appears to be the only one that they've been able to bring forward so far. Perhaps there's an avalanche just waiting to happen, but it certainly doesn't seem that way. And I think that's maybe due to having too many similar people on the board as well. Maybe it needs mixed up, and hopefully it can happen fast, because interest is dwaning so badly.
You're right there. As you say, there's interest is dwaning. And the fact that, you know, they were pretty silent over the summer. I know they're obviously doing things, bringing in, you know, their paid member of staff and things like that. But I'm quite willing to say every time it gets mentioned, you know, I'm not a member. I always think it's a good idea for me to get signed up, but I don't see anything. You know, there's nothing that interests me in regards to it. So. You know, it's people like me they should be pushing for. But as you say, there's absolutely no interest in it for me to sign up the new.
It's easy enough to say it's a tenner a month direct debit. You can afford that, then why not sign up? But the problem is, why should you? They can't just rely on loyalty alone, and I think that's what the society are very guilty of just now. And if they continue with that approach, and it comes down to a stage where they don't succeed, we could end up with foreign ownership, and the club could completely fall into the wrong hands. It's only show in town, and it's one that needs to succeed, but there's a lot more effort required for it to succeed. I know people are volunteers, and knowing a few of the members of the board personally, they're all good people with very much the best intentions for Motherwell Football Club, but that doesn't shield them away from criticism, unfortunately, and they're the faces behind what is a very frustrating organisation just now.
Blind loyalty is why they will get my money. You know, I don't care or want any sort of gifts or, you know, the incentives or anything like that. Doesn't bother me. If they were to show, you know, they were, I don't know what they're doing, so it's a bit sort of hypocritical, of me to even say stupid things like this, but if they were to show, you know, what they were doing and how they were trying to recruit members and things like that, I'd be much more insensitive to, it'd be much more an incentive to sign up, basically.
I mean, the bottom line for the incentive is, if you don't sign up and we don't get the money, the club's going to be for sale. I mean, that's as much a bottom line as they're going to put on it.
Yeah.
And whether that sells it to enough people remains to be seen. I mean, I'm paid up, and my boy's paid up, but you know, I don't want anything for it. This is the first season I've bought a season ticket as well, for long enough, because I can get Friday nights, I have to go to the games now. It's now a financially viable situation to do it. But I mean, if it's something that you can't afford or don't want to afford, then the bottom line is the club is going to be sold. If the guy doesn't get his money back, how you entice folk with that, that aren't that bothered? It's a hard sell. It's a really hard sell. And if you're bothered about how the club's run, it's an even harder sell, because nobody's going to be everybody's cup of tea at running a football club. So if you're looking at people that you think haven't got a clue, you're not going to give them your money. So it is a double hard sell for somebody like yourself, Buster, to say, well, I'll put my money into that. Because, I mean, if somebody's seen what they've been doing and they've took their money out, it's not a good sign.
I think the board's... Sorry, I need to go to you.
I was just going to say, like, I agree that it's definitely a hard sell, but I think that there's a difference between, you know, being a hard sell and having a proper bash at it. I think, you know, I don't know what would convince Buster to actually join, but I would imagine if he was rocking up to Fir Park from the Leckie and there was maybe, you know, Welsh Society board members or volunteers or whatever, you know, standing about, you know, where the fanzine sellers or programme sellers normally are, engaging people, talking to people, maybe milling about the stand, you know, just talking to fans at half time, you know, just or coming down into the Leckie or Daniels or that before a game to speak. You know, I know Spar has mentioned that before, you know, the fact that they kick about the Cooper Suite before games, even although the Cooper Suite will probably be, you know, the folk who drink in the Cooper Suite are probably already members of the Welsh Society. You know, they should be out with their comfort zone. There's always been this mentality of, I'll build it and they will come. You know, all we need to do is have a website, allow people to sign up, and then sit back and allow people to join. And I think that's what they've been guilty of. You know, there needs to be effort. Okay, if we don't hit the target and it doesn't succeed, then at least be able to, you know, hold your head up and say, right, well, we gave it a good bash and it just didn't happen. But at the moment, I mean, you would genuinely, I can't imagine, apart from when we talk about it, I mean, obviously Buster could confirm or deny this, but I would imagine that for somebody like Buster, apart from when we actually talk about it, how often does he even notice that the Welsh Society exists?
I was going to just say, you know, obviously the last couple of weeks where you've been chatting about it, I've been absent, but with Barra's point there about, you know, coming down out in the streets or whatever, I hadn't even thought about the Welsh Society, and it was only yesterday when I turned round and I seen a poster on the back of the East Stand for the Welsh Society, and that was my first thought of the Welsh Society that day. You know, as Sparrow says, you know, that there should never be even just a wee stall or something on the corner where the Cooper is, you know, something like that, somebody out there just want to talk to people, see if they can get people to sign up. It'd be a great idea then. But as you say, that's the only sort of time I ever hear or see anything fae, the Welsh Society. Other than the...
Aye, some kind of point of contact on match day.
Yeah.
A wee desk at the bottom of the Cooper Suite or something.
It's said that what better time than match day, given that you're going to have 4,500 potential customers there? That's when they should be out all singing, all dancing, ready to promote themselves the best way possible. I think the interesting thing you said about the board and people's perception of them, I think that the problem is there's not enough diversity in the board in terms of characters. Don't get me wrong, that might just be due to the fact that there's a certain type of person that's got more time to spare to such a commitment, but I would hope there is... I'm pretty sure there will be people looking in. Like, someone I thought was really... gave the younger people a bit more of an interest in it was when Derek Watson was on the board. The younger supporters can relate to him. He's a well-known face around the club. I think that was the bit of diversity the club needed, and it's a shame that he's moved on for whatever reason, but they've never really replaced someone like Derek, and I think that's maybe one of the reasons why they continue to struggle, because they've not got slightly younger blood there, given their impression of what younger football fans do.
I don't even know who's on the board. Obviously, you know Brian, but as you say, I don't know any of the board members. I'd never hear from it. I don't expect to have a personal relationship or anything with them. I'm just saying I never ever see anything or hear anything, you know, about MD on the board. So I don't even know who is on the board, to be honest with you.
No, I can tell you. I can tell you every board member I know of, a few, but that's that. See, just to wrap up with one final point, Jay, we were discussing it yesterday, the flexi ticket doesn't seem to be something that's been reintroduced this season. We kind of discussed as well, there's a few guys that go to the games with us saying they'll miss quite a few games and have decided not to commit to the season ticket. We get them from the club's Twitter, said that it wasn't a very popular idea last season, but I still don't think there's any reason to do away with it completely if it's going to get an extra 20 or 30 people through the turnstile, then for an extra game or two, then why not keep it?
I'd certainly agree. You know, it's a great idea. Obviously, an idea first proposed to the club from, you know, past podcast guest Craig Holmes. But it's a good idea, and you're right. You know, those guys there that were at the game and said that that's exactly what they would be buying, because, you know, there's no point in them getting a season ticket because of their commitments. And it's disappointing because, you know, we're the family club. That's what we kind of perceive us as, you know, the community club. And so to keep something, regardless of whether, you know, sales are through the roof or not, to keep something that kind of benefits people who perhaps can't make every game, you know, that's the kind of thing we should be doing. So I'm kind of disappointed. It doesn't directly influence me because I've bought my season ticket. But, you know, that's the kind of initiative that you would like to think that a club that, you know, harks itself, you know, claims that it's, you know, this community club, that's the kind of thing that we should be doing regardless. You know, if it helps a handful of people, if it helps, you know, a dozen Motherwell fans, then great. You know, so I was quite disappointed to hear that had been done away with. And, of course, the main reason that we were talking about it was because we genuinely had mates who were basically on the lookout for it this season because it would have benefited them.
I think the thing is as well, Bukes, that you'll sometimes look out the window and it's hammering down with rain, or you might have suffered a bad defeat the previous week, and you decide, I'll just save my money, or I'll just not bother and listen to the radio or whatnot. It ties people down to go into a certain number of games, and that's a good thing for club finances.
Oh, definitely. I mean, case in point, my dad's 84, so I mean, he picks and chooses. He buys a season ticket because it's an OAP's ticket, it's 100 and, I don't know, something quid. But there is games where he just goes, no, it's too cold. And so, I mean, the club's got his money, but, you know, if Ernie paid his money, then they'd be losing it. And there would be the odd game, he'd maybe think, well, I've played for 10 games, you know, I'll go the day, or it's, you know, however they fancy it kind of thing. It's a shame. I mean, you would think that they would try and make funds to the club as accessible as possible. And even if it was a fair weather fan, you know, if they play for 10 games and make 8, they've still, you know, the club's got their money kind of thing, you know. It's disappointing that it's not been mooted for this season. Unless they just bring out the top six or bottom six, whatever happens, you know, at the end of the season, once they see where they are, kind of thing. You know, unless it's an end of season, you know, approach after Christmas kind of thing, you know, try and sell half season tickets at Christmas and then flexi season tickets for January onwards. That might be the strategy.
Could be. The you know, as you say, it's kind of surprising that it's been totally shelved, because I can't imagine there being any sort of, you know, cost to the club for even just suggesting that you can possibly buy these things. So I don't know. As you say, I don't know what the fair does. It probably didn't sell as well as they thought it would, but it could surely still be just sitting there as an option.
Yeah, maybe they think there's a wee bit of overlap just now. They're still trying to
get the season tickets at the door,
season tickets, and they'll wait to maybe a few games into the season. But if that's affecting people going to the... Well, we've got 3 home games this month. We've got, so obviously, a yesterday's game. Then we'll have Aberdeen and Kilmarnock. So if that affects people's attendance early in the season, then it'll hit them. It'll hit them in the pocket, I guess. But hopefully it doesn't come to that. Guys, well, this has been quite a long one. We should have really noted that, as you possibly have heard, Bukes has returned from his... We explained your absence, but it was very good having you back, mate, and your third appearance on the podcast, and we'll have a fourth very soon.
I hope so. Short but sweet. Stay out of the pub next time and get out of your bed. Maybe recall it a decent time.
We make absolutely no promises.
You're becoming the Yoko Ono of the podcast.
Aye, alright. Okay, it's 1:15 in the morning, so we'll wrap this up. Jay, Buster, thank you very much, guys.
Cheers.
No bother, as you say, it's pretty late, so thanks for this.
We'll be back next Monday when Stevie Kirk joins the guys. Until then, enjoy Tynecastle with Aberdeen game, and we'll see you next week.
Oh, Stegosaurus.